You're listening to the Counterculture Mom Show. Our kids are under fire every day with the media and pop culture persuading them to give up their faith and Christian values. Stay tuned now as former Hollywood actress and pop culture expert Tina Griffin helps you counter these messages and safely navigate today's pop culture chaos.
We all want to make sense of life, who we are, why we are, and to know that what we do day in and day out matters. But daily demands often lead to a life that feels void of meaning and disjointed from our deepest beliefs. Stephen Garber challenges us to move beyond our fragmented sense of reality and begin to see all we are and all we do, our work, play, relationships, worship, and loves as significant to God. Stephen is the Senior Fellow for Vocation and the Common Good for the M.J. Murdoch Charitable Trust. He has recently served as Professor of Marketplace Theology and Director of the Masters in Leadership, Theology and Society at Regent College, Vancouver, British Columbia. Stephen has also been a consultant to foundations, corporations, and universities. This is the Counterculture Mom Show. I'm Tina Griffin. Life Reset is the topic of the week as we hit the midpoint in 2025. To get our life on track for the first time, possibly, or get back on track, I'm with Stephen Garber, Senior Advisor at the Economics of Mutuality. Stephen, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well because I'm talking with you who live in Nashville, a city that I love.
Oh, well, you know what? I was just in San Fran and got robbed last year, but I would go back in a heartbeat to meet up with you in person and take my chances.
You should do that.
We got to do it. Your experience and your wisdom that I can already sense from the questions we're going to be discussing today is phenomenal. So everybody tuning in, pay extra special attention. If you got any distractions surrounding you right now, ditch the distractions and fully focus on the next 25 minutes. It will be a life changer, I promise you. Stephen, you're married to Meg and you have five children, several grandchildren. That's phenomenal. We're going to go right into getting our life on track. What does a seamless life look like?
It looks like everything matters. The subtitle of the book, which drew this into being, is a tapestry of love and learning, worship and work. And if you just take those four words, the four ideas they represent, clearly it is that every square inch in the whole of reality belongs to Jesus, who alone is Lord. Which are the words of Abraham Kuyper 125 years ago, who was at the time the Prime Minister of the Netherlands. And those are words that I live by and live within and hope for in all of the who I am, every square inch of the whole of reality. And so I believe that, I want that, I long for that. And that's really behind the labor of love that the book represents.
Well, I can tell that your character, your demeanor, your calm, humble voice has already made my heart slow down, my breathing slow down. I feel calmer just listening to your voice. Have you always lived this calm pace of life, or were you a person that went 180 miles an hour before, lived a fragmented life, and then God got a hold of your heart?
I've lived in Washington, D.C. for 35 years. It's a very fragmented city. It's a very fast-paced city. It's a very busy city. If you know the city at all, you know that in the escalators going in out of the metro system, there are two lanes. They're not marked, of course, but you need to know the two lanes. One side is for those who are just visitors from Nashville and from Bakersfield and from Spokane. And the other side, of course, is for those 25-year-olds who are running the world. And they need to get in, up and down the escalator very, very quickly because they need to be in a meeting in 5 minutes to change history. In some ways, that's a caricature. But of course, in some ways, it represents also the reality of Washington, D.C. I've lived there. I taught politics there for a long time in my life on Capitol Hill. At the same time, I would say I remember some years ago being asked by a national organization, I guess it was even an international organization, working on prison reform, prison renewal, prisoner ministry, headquartered in the Washington area. They said, would you come talk to us about the question, is it possible to have a contemplative life and still live in Washington, D.C.?
Oh.
And of course, it's a question full of meaning and weight and, consequence, a contemplative life and still live in this capital city of the world for blessing and curse in the 20th, 21st century. But I would say I'm drawn to that kind of life to be that kind of person, Tina. I stumble in my life towards that and around that and with that, but I'm drawn to that.
You know what's unreal? There's like a, I don't even know what to explain. It just happened in my brain as you're sharing with your calm, humble voice. In the past, and I say the past as in probably even yesterday, maybe last week, if I see a person moving slower, talking slower, in my gut, if I wouldn't even possibly say it out loud, I'd be like, hurry up already. I got to be somewhere. But now you're making me look at the people who might be walking slower, talking slower, driving slower, might be on more of a mission and purpose from God and understanding their mission and purpose better than the people driving 90 miles an hour around them, almost causing an accident. So just for the first couple of minutes of spending with you on this program, I already know the answer is yes, you can live a slower paced, God-driven lifestyle in a busy city like DC, LA, San Francisco, Chicago, or anywhere else that God has us. You already addressed what a seamless life looks like. Why do you think so many people are inclined to live fragmented lives?
Yeah, it's a million, maybe trillion dollar question, obviously, but I think the most simple but honest answer to begin with is that we're sons of Adam and daughters of Eve. All of us are, which was the language of George MacDonald and then C.S. Lewis, you know, a century later, and it's become my language too. You know, I think we need to begin there. Almost every conversation we have ought to begin there. We're sons of Adam and daughters of Eve for both blessing and curse. So on the one hand, we are so full of honor and dignity and, you know, and the gifts of God that are unique to be made in the image of God. And yet we're fallen, broken, wounded people too, live in a fallen, broken, wounded world. And from the very beginning of time, and you just follow this century upon century and, you know, epoch upon epoch and, you know, into the 21st century, we're disposed to fragmentation. I gave a lecture on Saturday. Actually, I just got off the plane from Washington to San Francisco, and I ran into the United Club to give a lecture to a group for the Institute for Marketplace Transformation in Vancouver, British Columbia. And they asked, would you please give a lecture to our people from really all over the world on dualism. And I called it a disposition to dualism. Which means that we are disposed to fragmentation. We're disposed to saying, well, this, but then this. You know, I think this, but, you know, reality is this. I believe this, but, of course, the world is really like this, you know. And, you know, I spent a whole hour with them on that, and we don't have time to do that much of that here today, other than to say I think that we are people who are disposed to dualism. We're disposed to, in some ways, being willing to separate, to compartmentalize, to say, well, I know I say this is important, but, you know, business is business, you see. Politics is politics, you see. Sex is sex, you see. You know, and to say, well, the things of life are one thing. Maybe just one little window into this, but I told a story at the beginning of this lecture of teaching a course in Vancouver at Regent some years ago. There was a couple from Sydney, Australia in the class. It was a week-long course on a book I'd written called Visions of Vocation. And the last morning of the week, the wife of the couple, they both were in business, she said, can I talk to you before the day's over? I said, sure. And at the break, she said, well, I think you've answered a question I've had for 3 years of my life. And I said, this week I have? She said, yes. I said, what was the question? She said, well, I've just asked friend after friend, how do you distinguish between my Christian life and the rest of my life? So we use the language, of course, well, you see, in my Christian life, she said, but I just never been able to figure out how to relate those two. I said, well, what do you think now? She said, well, I think you've answered that question. I said, well, what's the answer? She said, well, they're the same thing, aren't they? And you see, because of the disposition to dualism that we have as sons of Adam, daughters of Eve, even as people who are honest lovers of God in the world, we are disposed, we're willing to separate out, well, holy things from unholy things, godly things from ungodly things, you know, churchly things from not churchly things, you know. So we think, well, of course I'm this, but of course, the world is the world, and business is business, and the arts are the arts, and music is music, and, you know, money is money. And, you know, my vision and hope is, of course, for something more seamless.
It makes complete sense. It sounds so simple, and yet it might be, But in today's world, the pressure is so great to constantly put the pressure on us to not live a seamless life, that that's the struggle. And yet, if we would just do what God has called us to do and live out what He has placed in our hearts, no matter what we're doing in life, 24/7 around the clock, we will discover what a seamless life looks like. I've experienced it. I absolutely love it. Frankly, that's why, major reason why I created this program, that God said, get it out there, because a lot of people have been living fragmented lives. And I would love to see more people get off the bench in the game, living out a Christian life every single day, because of the joy that it brings when we do that. I mean, speaking to teens for two decades around this globe, many kids have a mission and purpose. They just don't know how to execute on it because of all the distractions and the deception. You are totally hitting a home run on this. It makes complete sense. I think a reason why people live such fragmented lives is because if we focused, slowed down, and lived a seamless life, yes, it's going to be a harder life to live because we will get opposition from the enemy, but at the same time, it'll be much more rewarding. And so a lot of people are afraid to step out with fear, or how are we going to do the next step, or whatever the case is, or the enemy attacking us and making it harder for us to step out for a seamless life, that we don't step out. And a fragmented life is the distraction we hide behind. So it's an honor and a privilege to have you on this program today. I absolutely want to call you once a week because of your calm demeanor. It is so needed. And frankly, people aren't even used to hearing me speak as slow as I'm speaking today, but I love it. We're going to be back to talk to Stephen Moore about his book, his mission and purpose on God's green earth here right after this. Have you been feeling a little off lately? Many of us have. The crazy thing is, you're not sick. You're being poisoned. GMOs, glyphosates, heavy metals, microplastics, nanobots, and graphene oxide in vaccines. These toxins are everywhere. But there is a solution that detoxifies and goes after the root of the problem, with all natural ingredients that work at the nano and cellular levels. It's called Masterpiece. This organic formula has two natural ingredients, zeolite and sea plasma, both powerfully structured together. The clinical studies are unmatched, and they've got thousands of testimonials with incredible stories. One user said, "Phenomenal product. I've only been taking it for a week and my energy levels are through the roof." To get Masterpiece, just go to masterpiecebyhcs.com. That's Master P-E-A-C-E by HCS.com, or click on the link below. Enter code Tina at checkout to get our special pricing. It's literally a dollar a day. Let's ditch the poison.
You lost faith in the government's ability to make sound financial decisions. Our economy, banking system, and the U.S. dollar are failing. How do you protect your wealth in economic times like these? Gold offers protection that paper can't. Unlike stocks and other paper assets, gold is real, has never gone to zero, and has no counterparty risk. Gold has more than doubled in the last 5 years, and many experts are predicting that gold prices are going to continue to rise for many reasons. There are lots of gold companies out there these days, so compare prices and credibility. Call Wholesale Direct Metals now for great service and lower prices. We're a Better Business Bureau A-rated discount gold dealer with zero complaints nationwide.
Call now and request free information. 1-866-925-6626. Ask about using your IRA to buy precious metals. Call 1-866-925-6626 now and protect yourself with gold.
Stephen, why do so many people struggle to embrace their vocations?
Because you use the word people, and I don't know whether you include every son of Adam, every daughter of Eve in that question of people. Of course, since one sense we ought to, we should do that. But maybe I will respond with a little bit of a turn on the question, why do Christians have such a hard time understanding that? I think that one of the reasons, frankly, is that the church doesn't take it seriously. If you think about, you know, what happens when, I'll just pick a name here of, you know, your local Presbyterian, Anglican, Baptist church in Nashville, just, or your Catholic church in Nashville, you know, in all these traditions, you know, who gets prayed for week by week? I would say that probably we're going to pray for the pastors, of course, and maybe the, you know, Sunday school teachers, maybe the missionaries, maybe the cross-cultural people, maybe the Bible translators, maybe the church planners. But it'd be very hard to imagine that the people who do, who the executives on Music Row would get prayed for in church on Sunday morning.
Oh, that's so good.
I'm just hard to imagine. You know, you might imagine a very notable CCM artist might break into a prayer, but I'm guessing, you know, probably those who are honestly people of faith who are trying to sing songs for everyone in the world, you know, be harder to imagine. You know, why would we want to pray for something so worldly? They have a worldly life, don't they? We've already chosen. They've chosen a more worldly ambition, really. I would say simply that the butchers, the bakers, the candlestick makers, the kindergarten teachers, the lawyers, the, you know, the music executives, the singers, the songwriters, the tech people on the stage towns, the studios. I mean, I know a lot of them. I've known a lot of them for years and years and years. And I just know that in some ways the church has a hard time believing what people like that do is a vocation from God. I think, you know, one way to talk about the question, Tina, would simply to say the church doesn't take it seriously and the people in the church don't take it seriously.
How can we take it seriously? And if we right now are watching this today, tuning in via radio, we're like, totally agree with what you're saying. What's the first step we can do to take it seriously?
Could you persuade your pastor to change the pastoral prayer next Sunday? To say, well, why wouldn't we not only pray for the Young Life staff people, you know, here in the city of Nashville, but why wouldn't we pray actually for the music executives or the lawyers or the, you know, the people doing sound on the, you know, the studios of the city, you know, people who actually are literally the butchers, the bakers, the candlestick makers. Why wouldn't we pray for them too? Probably the credo of my own life has been this for years and years. Vocation is integral, not incidental to the mission of God.
I absolutely love that. And you know, speaking in how many different churches over the years, youth camps, whatever the case is, I would constantly hear leaders say, we want this church to grow. We want more people here on a Sunday. How many of us actually take that serious? We will see life change in ourselves if we're actually doing what God's called us to do, which is go out and make disciples. That in itself would change the face of what's going on in our culture today. But then secondly, to witness what happens as a result of God working in and through another person who doesn't know the Lord that we invite to church or invite to a Bible study or invite into conversation, even at the grocery store, to see the light bulb go off in another person that does not know the Lord, but all of a sudden starts to see and connect the dots and turns to God as a result. That's why I can't shut up. I have been talking to teens for 2 decades to see a light bulb go off in the first 10 to 15 minutes of sharing about how they can make a difference in our culture is exactly what I'm addicted to and why I keep doing what I'm doing. And I know you could say the exact same thing. So each and every day, what can we do to make a difference in our culture, to reset our own lives and help other people reset theirs is phenomenal. It makes me want to skip sleep.
Have you ever wanted to start a charity or ministry? Launching a nonprofit can be time-consuming, expensive, and overwhelming. If you have a vision and mission, but don't know where to start or how to raise donations, Capstone Legacy Foundation is your solution. Their ministry charity project allows you to receive tax-free donations without the expense and hassle of forming your own 501c3, and in less than 48 hours. This ministry partnership fund is exactly how Counterculture Ministries got its start, and we grew quickly. Capstone Legacy Foundation handles all your legal and accounting paperwork, allowing you time to develop the ministry and message God gave you. Call Capstone today at 610-688-8890 or check out capstonelegacy.org for more information and tell them Tina sent you. Partner with Capstone Legacy Foundation to transform our culture for Christ and get your nonprofit started today.
The culture is coming hard after our kids, so it's imperative we arm them with truth. That's why I love Acts and Facts, a totally free creation science magazine from the Institute for Creation Research. It's packed with jaw-dropping science that lines up with scripture. We're talking dinosaurs, DNA, fossils, astronomy, geology, evidence that points straight to our Creator. It's written by real scientists in a way your kids and you can understand. In addition, it talks about all the upcoming events happening at the Discovery Center, including their dinosaur dig each summer in Montana. I've been getting this magazine in my mailbox for years, and we have thoroughly enjoyed it. Get your free subscription now by going to icr.org/Tina and sign up, or just scan the QR code on the screen. That's icr.org/Tina. Once again, this magazine is free, it's faith-building, and it will establish a biblical foundation. We have received emails where relationships have been restored, babies have been saved, mothers have been encouraged to keep fighting for their kids, and that is all possible because of your generosity. Our ministry is supported financially, primarily by our listeners and our viewers. So thank you so much to those who have jumped on board in the last year or two and gave to this ministry. It has allowed us to expand on over 20 TV networks, 600 radio stations, and the major podcast avenues. In this next year, we're praying for more people who have been impacted by this program to come alongside us so we can get these life-saving conversations in more homes across America. And we can't do it without you. If you'd like to donate to Counterculture Ministries and help us expand the reach, you can make your tax-deductible gift by going to counterculturemom.com and then just click on that pink donate button at the top of the page. You can make a one-time year-end gift or become a monthly partner. Our monthly budget is $40,000 to keep this show on the air and to cover production costs. We are in need of $20,000 to cover our monthly expenses, and we'll be expanding to more platforms as soon as our funding comes in. To give, just check out counterculturemom.com and click on the donate tab at the top of the page. At the same time, any businesses that are for America, pro-life, love kids, have conservative Christian values, please let them know as well that we are looking for monthly partners. Once again, all a tax write-off. Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to serve the Lord every single week through this program. Stephen, before we let you go, what would you say to the crowd tuning in right now on how we can find a life of meaning?
Well, thinking about who you are, Tina, and the show you do, the podcast, and the name you've given to it, it seems to me that what we are most longing for as parents and as those who love the next generation in the world is for them to learn to see the world, to hear the world, to even to feel the world as God does. So if it's counterculture, well, the question, of course, is how do you, in the language of Jesus, how do you be really in the world but not be of the world?
Yes.
So we're trying in some ways to take kids out of the world. That wouldn't work anyway. It is not what God wants. The question is, how do we send our kids into the world to be honestly in it, but not to be of it?
Yes.
And for me, I would say, I mean, my own long, long prayer of a father of five and now grandfather of 14 is, oh, God in heaven, give them the grace to see, to hear, to feel the world like you do. To things you care about, they would care about. Things that you honor, they would honor. Things you love, they would love. The things you hate, they would hate, actually, which doesn't, again, keep them out of the world. But in some ways, it allows them to grow up with a disposition, a habit of heart to love the things that God loves. That's really what we're talking about, Dean, it seems to me. So what is meaning, a meaningful life? I would say it's to have our own hearts be aligned with the heart of God. That's what the heart of meaning has to be for every one of us everywhere in the world. To the extent that we have dissonance or, you know, some kind of movement away from the heart of God, it's not going to be full of meaning, of meaningful. So I could say a thousand things about that. Maybe I would just say, you know, could we learn, counterculture moms that we're wanting to be, and dads and grandfathers and grandmothers, could we be people who long to see our most dearly loved ones learn to see, to hear, to feel the world like God does?
So well said. And you said at least a dozen things in this short episode where I've heard them before, but today they made sense. You have such a way with words. Everybody out there, as a counterculture parent, grandparent, or even counterculture teens that are tuning into this, stay the course. Stay the course. Don't wave the white flag. God does not judge us from our past. We need to repent, but our identity is not in the mistakes we made in our past. If we made mistakes, we learn from them and move forward. Phenomenal, phenomenal insight today. You definitely want to go check out Stephen's book. It's The Seamless Life, A Tapestry of Love and Learning, Worship and Work. We can find this on Amazon. Of course, it's 5-star. Check it out, everybody. What will we find in this fantastic read?
It is, in some ways, it is a tapestry, to use the subtitle of the book. It is, you know, about at least these four different ideas: love, learning, worship, and work. But the photos and essays together are wanting, they're only 3 or 4 pages each. So in some ways, people have been reading it for the last several years saying, well, It isn't a book to be read in one fell swoop. It isn't a book to be read, you know, in 3 days. It's a book maybe to be read day by day for a while, you know, to sort of to think about it and to say, well, okay, here's, you know, 5 minutes of my time. Let me think about this one. But again, they're both photos which capture the point of the essay, some window into the essay. But then there's also, of course, you know, the essay itself, which is in a sense to tease out, to reflect upon what this is about.
Stephen, thank you for your time today, for jumping on the program. I know you're traveling, so thank you for making the time. Everybody out there, watch all 4 episodes as we dissect everything about Life Reset so we can get our life on track and use every precious moment God gave us. You rock. Keep up the excellent work, Stephen.
Thanks for joining us for the Counterculture Mom Show with your host, Tina Griffin. For over 2 decades, Tina has traveled the globe exposing how pop culture is glamorizing harmful behaviors without showing the consequences, and how these messages are wreaking havoc on today's youth. Through radio, TV, podcasts, and our app, Counterculture Ministries is reaching millions every week with a biblically based message for hope for today's teens and their parents. But we can't do that without your faithful prayer and financial investment. If you appreciate the ministry of Tina and Counterculture Ministries, would you prayerfully consider a generous gift right now? We have a donor matching dollar for dollar. You can give securely online by visiting counterculturemom.com or by texting the word donate to the number 55444. That's counterculturemom.com or text the word donate to the number 55444. Every dollar is doubled. If you love this show, you can stay up to date on the latest critical issues affecting your family by catching all of our weekly episodes with resource links, signing up for our e-newsletter, and downloading our Counterculture Mom app, where you get timely pop culture alerts. Visit counterculturemom.com for more details. And be sure to join us next week for another edition of the Counterculture Mom Show with Tina Griffin, where we are rewriting Hollywood's script for our kids.